610 Sports Radio.
Yeah!
It's time for What's Right with Nick Wright. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on the new 610 Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back. 5767610. 610 Sports Radio. Neanderthal in for Nick Wright, who had some personal business he needed to take care of today. And we're talking about a whole bunch of things. We did talk about KU, MU, and K-State sports, talking about whether or not they can be considered national football powerhouses in the NCAA. And if that's the case, why are they scheduling cream puff games? Are they not one of those teams and programs that have to schedule the tougher games to be considered more legitimate? Also, a running theme throughout the day has been sport, not a sport. As I am not a sports guy, I don't think I have any credibility here whatsoever, and I'm not jeopardizing the credibility of 610 Sports. As a matter of fact, my opinions do not reflect the management here at 610 Sports. A poor management decision putting me in here for Nick Wright today. But be that as it may, 5767610, because I have no credibility, I can rip your favorite sport apart and not feel guilty about it in any way, shape, or form. A whole bunch of people, we talked about beer pong, whether or not it's a sport. I got to go back to track and field, because track and field was one that my opinion has been swayed upon. I think if there's direct competition, such as the 100-meter dash or any of the, the hurdles, any of that type of, if there's direct competition, I guess that's a sport. I don't think that the field events, such as shot put, hammer throw, javelin, any of those are considered sports. They're tests of skill, tests of strength, but I'm not sure they're sports unless you're throwing the shot put at somebody or the javelin at somebody, and then you have to dodge the javelin. Now we're talking fun. Now it's a good time. So as we continue on, it's 576-7610. Somebody just texted into the Applebee's text line at 87905. When someone is knocked out in boxing or MMA, does it become a sport? A judge cannot determine the outcome. Signed, Cruiser. Yeah, you're right. Once you get knocked out, yeah, that's definitive. There has to be a definitive winner, a definitive way to score the sport, and that's why. But when you start talking about subjective judging, things like figure skating, things like gymnastics, things like where a human being has to dictate the outcome, then you're talking about personal opinion. Opinions are subjective, and sports have to have a definitive outcome, which brings us to a bunch of other sports, like, is billiards a sport? Yeah, I think there is. I think you can strategically... Hell, chess would be a sport. Oh, my favorite sport. You remember this? You ever heard of this one? Chess boxing. Have you heard of chess boxing? Chess boxing is literally what it sounds like. You play a game of chess. I think it's like an 8-minute timed game of chess. Then you lace up the boxing gloves, and you box for a round, and then you go back and you play another round of chess. It's a legitimate, that's a sport. There's a chess box. I think Budweiser sponsors it. How about that? I don't know why we haven't seen that on ESPN. They'll show the spelling bee, but they won't show chess boxing. So we're keeping it light, because I have very limited sports knowledge. I take that back. I'm a huge football fan. I'm a big fan of my Oakland Raiders. I understand what it's like to be a fan of a football team when they're not doing well, and the Chiefs are not doing well for the past couple of years, which obviously necessitated the change in the upper management. And it brings me to a couple of things. We had a list of guys out there that could help the Kansas City Chiefs. And there was an article in yesterday's Kansas City Star regarding a correlation between the performance of your professional sports franchises and the economic impact it has on a city, and the moral impact, excuse me, the morality impact on the city. Morale is what I'm looking for. If I can buy a vowel, that would be good. The story basically says that if your team is doing well, the residents of the city tend to spend more money, tend to feel happier about themselves. And if your team is not doing well, the residents of the city tend to feel a little bit less positive, feel a little bit more depressed about their life in the city. Whose job is it to set that up? Whose job is it to set the morale, the city morale? And if your city morale is on a low end, does that preclude a superstar from coming to Kansas City? Like, one of the big arguments with the Royals is that we can't get superstar players to come here to Kansas City because it's Kansas City. Is Kansas City being painted by the national media as more small market than we are? How many times have you heard that watching a football game? Well, you know, the Chiefs are a great small market team. They've got a great small market fan base. Meanwhile, when they talk about Indianapolis, you would think they're talking about friggin' Manhattan. They talk about Indianapolis like it's Los Angeles. Indianapolis is a smaller city than we are. What other cities that get out? Green Bay. Green Bay, Wisconsin is smaller than Overland Park. But yet to hear the national media talk about it, everybody says, well, you guys want to go and play in Green Bay. Why don't guys want to come and play in Kansas City? Our cost of living is less. The dollar stretches further. Did Carl Peterson do that much damage to this franchise? You know, Kansas City is ranked near the bottom, one of the almost the least happy teams, least happy cities in America. How weird is that? Because the football team and the baseball team don't do well. So if you want to chime in on that, you can do that. 576-7610. You've got Jeff Garcia out there, free agent, looking for a job. You've got a couple of wide receivers out there. You've got a couple of linebackers that could help. Victor Hobson used to play for the Arizona Cardinals. I would not be surprised to see Todd Haley take a run at Victor Hobson to bring him in here to shore up some of the linebacker situation. Text just came in. Since the Chiefs and Royals do not defend, are they considered sporting teams? Well, yeah. Yes, they are. You've got to have some defense at some point, I would think. Joe is up next on 576-7610, 610 Sports. The original sports were golf and hand-to-hand combat. Was golf really one of the original sports, Joe? Is that true?
Yes, if you go way back, I mean, our definition of sport has changed. You go back way back, your sporting events are going to be fox hunts, hand-to-hand combat, even golf. Now, I agree with you. These aren't sports. They are not sports, in my opinion, but it's because our opinions changed. If you want to talk about sports and say one is the other, you'd have to say that basketball and football really aren't because they're too new. They aren't even like the original sports. Sports were played by kings and Englishmen and whatever hierarchy, but I'm just saying that our opinion of a sport has changed. Chess might even be considered a sport, which, like I say, I just don't agree with it, but I think you just have to include whatever you know, your upbringing is. I mean, I don't consider soccer a sport, but it's, you know, the biggest sport in the world, I guess. That's all I got to say, man. Thanks.
You're welcome, man. I appreciate you calling. No, yeah, I think football is considered a sport because it's replaced war. I mean, ultimately, you know, back in the day, England and Scotland, you know, you go to the Braveheart thing. They brought their armies. They met on a common neutral ground, and they fought it out, and whoever won got some territory. And with football being a ground acquisition game, yeah, I think football has just basically replaced war. So I think it's the evolution of sport. It's war without the death in most cases. So, yeah, I think football, but, yeah, you might be right. I think combat sports, obviously wrestling is probably the oldest sport known to mankind. I'm talking about real wrestling, not professional wrestling, which is Broadway for the less fortunate. But, yeah, I think you're looking at some of the definition of sport has certainly changed. You can only look at the X Games. You look at things like BMX. Is BMX racing a sport, or is that just something that suburban kids do when the tennis court nets fall down? I don't know. 576-7610. You want to get something on that? We can continue to do it. The Chiefs, as we were talking about, are in no position to be picky when it comes to getting guys out there. They need to bring some guys in to fix this team. And the question I have is Kansas City suffering from sort of a black eye perceptually in the National Football League? Did Carl Peterson do so much damage to this football team that star players don't want to come here? Meanwhile, you talk about smaller markets. Let's look at the small markets in the National Football League. Buffalo, Carolina, Cincinnati's about the same size as us and a worse football program over the past 20 years. Green Bay, Indianapolis, New Orleans, and Tennessee, all smaller markets than Kansas City, all get more media attention and have a higher profile. Is there something that needs to happen right now within the Kansas City Chiefs? Does somebody have to do there and do some damage control? Todd Haley, is he the guy that does that? Does Scott Pioli do that? Who brings the luster back to the Kansas City Chiefs to make it a place where, let's say, you've got a free agent wide receiver? You've got a guy like Richard Seymour. I'll use this as an example because it's one of the top stories out there. Richard Seymour, played for the New England Patriots, five-time Pro Bowler, gets traded to the Oakland Raiders. Not showing up. Has no interest in playing for the Raiders. Now, Tom Cable, their head coach, is saying, yeah, he's interested in being a Raider. Do you remember when some people, the report came out about a year or 2 years ago, when people said, well, these guys don't want to come to Kansas City because they don't want to play for Carl Peterson. Have they put that much of a stank on the Kansas City Chiefs that star players don't want to come here anymore? And why is it that the national media will speak glowingly about Cincinnati and Green Bay? I mean, Cincinnati got a chance to do the Hard Knocks thing on HBO. Now, the Chiefs have done that as well. You got to wonder, is that Hard Knocks show a desperation attempt to try and bring attention, positive attention, back to your football team? I mean, look at, why is Terrell Owens in Buffalo? I mean, Buffalo. Who said that? When you look down at the places to play, it's cold as hell in Buffalo. It's almost Toronto. But he goes there. Meanwhile, nobody seems to want to come to Kansas City, where we have, for the most part, decent weather, one of the greatest fan bases in all of the National Football League, one of the greatest facilities to play in. It's loud. It's great. It's nationally known as being loud. But we're not nationally known as being a great football or sports city. I got to wonder why that is. Is that because of the performance of the teams, or is that because of the way Kansas City is being painted? 576-7610. Or you can also text in on the Applebee's text line at 87905. By the way, you want to join Time Warner Cable on the official station of Jayhawk Basketball, 610 Sports Radio, as we head to the Basketball Hall of Fame Showcase in St. Louis. That'll be cool. Kansas taking on Memphis, which will be a fun game. Scott Trade Center happening on November 17th, just $161.10. Get you in on the Roadrunner Power Boost Express. It should be a good time. Lower-level tickets, VIP hospitality. Watch KU take on Memphis, and then Arkansas is going to take on Louisville. So you get sort of a bonus, what they like to call down in the Big Easy, a lanyap, little something extra if you take part in that. Space is limited. Go online to 610sports.com right now and reserve your seats. That's 610sports.com. 576-7610. You want to continue on? Robert has a take on why the Chiefs don't get free agents. Robert, you're up next on 610 Sports.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm well, man. Thank you for your blatantly feigned concern.
Well, I think the Chiefs and the Royals don't get big free agents because they don't want to pay them. They had, like, the Royals had a chance to keep Jermaine Dye and Johnny Damon, but they let them go as free agents because they didn't want to pay them. You have to pay big name players to come and play, no matter where they are. That's how Buffalo got Terrell Owens. They paid them. It's as simple as that. You have to pay for free agents to keep good talent here.
Yeah, but paying for free agents doesn't necessarily translate into wins. Look what's going on with the New York Yankees right now, and look what happened in the National Hockey League. I know we don't really talk much about hockey here in Kansas City since we lost the Blades, but the New York Rangers have spent tons of money trying to build a winning franchise. Spending money does not equate winning.
No, I agree. I'm just saying that the reason big-name players don't come here because they don't get an opportunity because we don't sign them as free agents. That's my point. We just don't sign free agents to big money, to big dollars. That's why they don't come here.
Do you think somebody could explain to the value of the dollar, like New York dollars versus Kansas City dollars, are two totally different things?
Believe me, I know. I've moved here from Philly. I just moved in from Philly.
Yeah.
And the cost of living out there is way more expensive than here. I have a nice home in Overland Park because I know how much it's cheaper here. All I'm saying is that the Chiefs don't pay people to come here. That's just my point.
Well, $7.5 million in Philadelphia might as well be $8.25 here in Kansas City. You know,
yeah,
given that, and I wonder if is it the Chiefs' job, is it Pioli's job to explain to an agent that there is a cost of living or a quality of life differential? And let's face it, the economy can't. I mean, people in Philadelphia are making per capita more than people in Kansas City because of the cost of living.
Well, I agree. That's why I moved here. My company sold me on the cost of living. I came here. I saw how much cheaper it was here. It was nice. The cost of living was great. I got more money for my more dollar. Yeah, it's the Chiefs' responsibility to try to get these guys here, bring them in, show them the town, show them all over, show them the good things that you can get for your dollar. I agree. I totally agree. There's a stigma out there about the Midwest and Kansas, and believe me, before I came here, I was like, Kansas, where's Kansas at? People on the East Coast don't even know where Kansas City is.
Well, no, and you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, I grew up in Boston and spent some time on the West Coast, and I appreciate the call, Robert. And prior to coming to Kansas City, I had no knowledge of how great a city it is, how big a city is, how many more people are here, how, you know, you can get everything in Kansas City that you can get in New York. And I use that as an example because LJ likes to live in New York in the off season, and he likes the, you know, sort of the highlight of that happens in New York. Yeah, it's a little bit more exciting. There's a little bit more going on. But as far as dollar for dollar quality of life, Kansas City is one of the best places in America to live. And I would never have known that had I not come here 4 years ago to live here. I love it, man. I love Kansas City, and I understand the passion the Chiefs fans have. I just got a text that just came in. It says the reason city morale is bad is because we have a Raider fan doing a talk show talking Chiefs football. Just because I happen to like a different football team doesn't mean I can't be objective about the local sports team. And I also don't believe that just because you live in a city, you need to be a fan of that local team. I know we get a lot of fans of the Rams here in Kansas City. We got a lot of fans of the Broncos here in Kansas City, to which I say, you want to feel good about the Kansas City Chiefs? Take a good look west to the Denver Broncos. There is a team that is going in the wrong direction. Welcome to the bottom. I welcomed you last year, Kansas City Chiefs fans, to the bottom. Welcome to the basement. This is what it looks like. Grab a beer, sit down. We're going to be here for a couple of years. And now the Broncos, and it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people, because there's nothing worse than a smug football fan. Everybody likes to see the smug fan get theirs, which is why 31 teams in the NFL and 31 fan bases in the NFL root against the New England Patriots right now because people hate smug football fans. 576-7610. You want to get in here? Join 610 Sports Radio tomorrow from 11:30 to 1 for the 7th Annual American Royal Boots Barbecue and Business Luncheon at Hale Arena. Steve Palermo going to be this year's guest speaker. He'll be sharing a story of inspiration, motivation, perseverance, heartbreak, humor, and love. Proceeds from the event help support the American Royals Youth and Education Mission. Enjoy great barbecue. Serve family style from Oklahoma Joe's. To order tickets and more information, you can log on to 610sports.com. That's 610sports.com. 576-7610. You want to get something in? You can also get in on the Applebee's text line, 87905. As we continue on, Neanderthal sitting in for Nick Wright on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to What's Right. What's Right with Nick Wright on KCSP 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to What's Right with Nick Wright, KCSP 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to What's Right with Nick Wright. Neanderthal sitting in for Nick Wright. I have the day off to take care of some stuff. 576-7610. If you want to chime in, bunch of different things we're talking about. Obviously, the running theme today has been sport, not a sport. You call me at 576-7610. You tell me what the sport is, and I will give you my opinion on whether or not it is a sport or not a sport, because, quite frankly, having me sit in for these 2 hours may have been one of the worst decisions that management of 610 Sports Radio has made. And why not? Let's just bring it worse. Let's take it right down into the gutter, and we'll make fun of every sport they can possibly have in there. We got a bunch of other things we talked about as well. This report that came out in the Kansas City Star talks about how whether or not the performance of your football team can dictate the behavior and the morale of a city. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for that. Everybody likes a winner, which I think is why KU and MU and K-State are getting so much more attention in football, is because there's a direct correlation between wanting to follow a winner and the performance of the Chiefs. The Chiefs haven't been winners in a while. And that brings me to a couple other things, which is Kansas City not getting the kind of national attention, not getting sort of the gloss that you would expect from the national media as being a good place to play. I mean, there are only 32 places that have NFL football, and a lot of places would gladly trade place with Kansas City to have a football team, San Antonio being one of them, Las Vegas being another one, and some places obviously have two football teams. And why is it that the star player, when the high-priced free agent is out there, Kansas City is not on their list? Is that because of the overall face of the city? Or is it because Carl Peterson and the performance and sort of the idea there's a little stank on the Kansas City Chiefs? And is Scott Pioli the guy to take that stank off? 576-7610, you want to get something in. I also talked about whether or not, you know, a lot of people talk about paying high-priced free agents to come in here. The Chiefs and the Royals don't want to pay that kind of money. And I got a text that came in at the Applebee's text line. It says, the Yankees are in first place, up about 8 games, because I talked about the New York Yankees as being a team. George Steinbrenner spends a lot of money on free agents. Yeah, they're up about 8 games in first place in the American League East right now for a combination of reasons, one of which is that the Boston Red Sox went through a midsummer collapse and sort of gave away a bunch of games, and the Yankees actually went in, they started to play according to their payroll. However, they still haven't won anything. And everybody talks about being, you know, ranked number one preseason, being first place for most of the season. That's all great, but at the end, you get a trophy. And until you get that trophy, you haven't really won anything. You had a good season. It was a profitable season, but you haven't really won anything. Why is it that the Chiefs don't get those guys? And a lot of people say it was penny pinching. Well, now we've got a new regime in here. They just spent $63 million on an unproven quarterback, and there's still a lot of places that the team needs to address. What happens if this team comes out of the gate and stumbles? We have seen that Todd Haley is not afraid to pull the trigger quickly. He's not afraid to make some changes quickly. Is Todd Haley going to be a guy that's under question too? Do we even know what he's going to be? Because he's an unproven head coach as well. Everybody seems to be trying so hard to make this football team better. And I think the expectations, setting expectations, are they unrealistic? Who knows? A whole bunch of stuff we can get to. 576-7610, you can do that. And again, sport, not a sport. Feel free to chime in with whatever your sport is, and I will tell you whether or not I believe it's a sport or not a sport. We'll go to Sergio. The idea of living in the Midwest is bad for free agents. Why, Sergio? You're up next on 610 Sports Radio. Sergio, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, why is the idea of living in the Midwest bad for free agents?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I'm originally from L.A., Raider fan, so
okay.
Go Raiders.
Nice.
And
That's just you realize what you've just done. You've just caused a bunch of people that are just going to call in and start hating on me. just hating on me. I would like to say for the record that the producer of the broadcast today is Trevor, and you can address all hate calls to Trevor, who screened that call and allowed a Raider fan on the radio.
Hey, you know, I enjoy living out in the Midwest. It's the lifestyle that me and my family were looking for. But I mean, as far as just free agents coming here, I think it's a combination of things. Like you said, you know, cost of living. What's in the Midwest? You know, I'm Hispanic. I'm originally from LA. Raider fan, Dodger fan, Laker fan, and you know, it's the lure of the bigger city that draw the free agents. You know, there really isn't much to do out here, really.
There's a lot to do out here, man. Lake of the Ozarks is great. Driving down Eureka Springs is kick-ass. I mean, and we're close to everything. That's the other thing. Everybody talks about flyover country. We can get anywhere in America in like a three-hour plane flight from here. And the cost of that flight is cheaper than it is in Los Angeles. Are you gone? Sergio's gone? All right. Well, that's okay. 5767610. You want to get something in? Let's look at that story. The thing that I was talking about, that story that was in the Kansas City Star, Rick Montgomery wrote it. And he said, in an analysis of 37 North American cities, Kansas City is ranked second from the bottom in success of big league sports. We're the second. You're talking about, we were compared to Los Angeles, who have the Clippers and the Dodgers and a whole lot of, and the Kings and a whole lot of nothing going on in Los Angeles. Those guys haven't won anything in a long time, and yet Kansas City is ranked second from the bottom in success since 2000. And apparently, according to this study, it basically implies that everybody here in Kansas City are setting themselves up for disappointment for following the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals because they haven't been good. So there you go. 5767610. Husker, if free agents wanted to come here, they would come. Are you really? And you think that's the reason why people don't come to Kansas City? Because they just don't want to come here.
Hey, first of all, Saul, I'd like to thank you for sitting in the Nickerite Show. It's great to have you on the station.
I appreciate
that. Keep bumping some rock music out.
You know what? I don't want to. Here's the thing. I want it to be just like Nick Wright, except a little bit fatter.
Yeah.
And I say PHAT, pretty hot and tasty.
I tell you what, the thing with the Royals and the Chiefs, I think they've been bad for so long that people don't want to come here. But the thing that's different than baseball, that's different than football, baseball, you can shell out a lot of money to get people to come here. And with David Glass's track record with Walmart, I think he should be able to shell out a little more money. Baseball doesn't have a salary cap, and it's been proven that you can spend money and go to the World Series.
I don't know. The Florida Marlins didn't spend a whole lot of money, and they won a World Series. The Arizona Diamondbacks didn't spend a whole lot of money, and they won a World Series.
Yeah, but in my case, the point was the Florida Marlins. But I listen to your comments out there, Paul, and have a Pepsi, and it was glad to hear you on the station. Maybe you could fill in for Chris the Cowboy sometime.
You know, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the sentiment. And I want to thank the management here at 610 Sports for making this mistake and putting me in here for a couple hours. You know, a lot of people think you can do what we do here in the building, and especially here, we all talk smack. I know there's a guy next door, the conservative Republican talk radio station, who likes to talk to me about debate the merits of the band Kiss. And we all talk smack about sports in the hallway, so I appreciate the opportunity to come in here and those kind words. But I don't know if it's a money issue, and I think we're going to find out, especially with Roger Goodell saying that next year might be an uncapped year in the National Football League, and the spending spree might be out of control. But I don't think just spending dollars is a chance. You can't buy a championship. I think you have to have team chemistry, and I think that some of it, if you put a team together of 53 B-level players that play well together, they will beat a team of 53 A-level players who are playing for the name on the back of the jersey and not the name on the helmet. So you do run the risk of overspending for guys that aren't good. Ty Law, for example, and I talked about this a little earlier, do you give a guy who might be on the downside of his career another chance? I don't know if the Chiefs can afford to do that now. I think with a new regime, I don't think Todd Haley can afford to do that. I think he wants to come in here and make his name immediately and be the guy, you know, but he runs a risk by being too intense. And, you know, you change the Carl Peterson stank, you get that out of here, and you get people go, okay, well, Scott Pioli's a proven winner. Maybe Kansas City is a destination. And then Todd Haley, who's taking a no BS approach, might actually be the other guy, because you're talking about NFL football players who don't want to listen to coaches. There are very few guys that can command respect in the locker room just by their presence. Mike Tomlin seems to have done a great job in Pittsburgh taking over for Bill Cowher. Jack Del Rio seems to do a great job of commanding the respect from his players. Does Todd Haley have that respect immediately? or is this something that he has to work on? I don't know. I want to hear your thoughts on that. And again, we'll continue on with sport, not a sport, 576-7610, as we continue on 610 Sports Radio. And the Underpaul in for Nick Wright. He will be back tomorrow, and you will get an opportunity to hear his thoughts on my desecration of his show this morning. 610 Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
What's right? What's right? Nick Wright on KCSP 610. Welcome back. Welcome back to What's Right with Nick Wright on KCSP 610 Sports Radio.
Well, welcome back to what might be my final segment in the history of 610 Sports Radio. As management, I'm sure, rethinking their decision to have Neanderthal sit in for Nick Wright. He'll be back tomorrow and give you an opportunity to throw all the smack talk, because I probably won't be up this early. This is the earliest I get up, and I'm an afternoon guy. If it's before noon, it usually doesn't happen. 576-7610, if you want to join the Time Warner Cable and the official station for Jayhawk Basketball, 610 Sports Radio, as we head to the Basketball Hall of Fame Showcase in St. Louis. Watch KU take on Memphis at the Scott Trade Center November 17th, just 161-10. We'll get you in on the Roadrunner Power Boost Express with lower-level tickets and VIP hospitality to watch both KU take on Memphis, and Arkansas takes on Louisville Spaces Limited. Go online to 610sports.com now and reserve your seats. That's 610sports.com, 576-7610. You want to get something in, you can do so. We have the running gag that has run through the show, which is sport or not a sport. If you have a sport and you want my opinion on it, because what does my opinion mean? I'm not a sports guy. I don't have any credibility whatsoever. So feel free. If you've got a sport that you want to get in here, you can do so at 576-7610, or you can also text it in here at 87905. The Applebee's text line is wide open. Neanderthal, kick the possum. Sport or not a sport? I don't know. Can the possum kick back? Does the possum get a chance to kick back? I'm not sure that could be a sport. It could be. Just got another text in that just said, I was talking about Los Angeles and how buying a championship, you can't spend a lot of money to win a championship. Yeah, L.A. just won a championship in the NBA, but there's a salary cap in the NBA, and people want to go to L.A. I mean, you start talking about Tiffany franchises in their sport, especially the Lakers, that's a place that a lot of people want to go to. Do they not want to come to Kansas City? If you got an opinion on that, you can do that. And why is that? Why is it that Kansas City is not getting the kind of attention nationally or the kind of gloss that we should get that other smaller cities like Indianapolis and Charlotte and Nashville seem to get constantly? And you listen to the guys talk about Indianapolis. And prior to Peyton Manning, I don't think that was the case. But I guess the success of the Indianapolis Colts probably brought the attention, the positive attention, onto their into their franchise. And I guess that with some success here in Kansas City, that will happen here again. Let's get down the list because we're getting close to it. We've got the NFL opening game happening Thursday night, Pittsburgh and Tennessee in Pittsburgh. That's sort of the opening weekend kickoff. I looked at the Chiefs' schedule a couple of months ago, before training camp even happened, and I thought, okay, with the guys that they brought in, bringing in Matt Cassel, bringing in Mike Vrabel, bringing in Terrence Copper and Bobby Engram, and with these expectations on Dwayne Bowe and Larry Johnson being sort of the focus of this football team, I originally had 7-9 as an optimistic best-case scenario for your Kansas City Chiefs. I have now revised that as I go down the schedule, looking at the schedule game by game. I'll give you my thoughts on what's happening. Obviously, opening the season on the road in Baltimore, I don't think anybody expects Kansas City to win that game. I don't think the Chiefs are going to win that game. I think Baltimore is going to be one of the favorite teams, and they might actually win it all. They could be the AFC contender for the Super Bowl this year, assuming that defense hasn't lost a step and assuming they can stay healthy on offense. That team could do very well. Then, of course, they open up at Arrowhead, the home opener against the Oakland Raiders, another team that's just in absolute disarray right now. And as a fan, it's sad for me to have to deal with that. But that's a game that the Chiefs could win. I don't think they're going to. I think it's going to take a little while for the Chiefs to gel as a team. I think they split with the Raiders this year, and I think the early game is the one they lose. And historically, that's been happening over the past couple of years. The visiting team has been winning in the other team's house. So I think that you're looking at an 0-2 start for the Chiefs. And then we go to Lincoln Financial Field, the return of Michael Vick. You don't think that Roger Goodell was looking on the schedule and said, what cream puff team can we put Michael Vick back on the field? I would take that. If I remember the Kansas City Chiefs or a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, I would take the fact that Michael Vick comes back in week 3 as a personal affront to my fandom. I would be angry. And I would hope that would be one of the games I will root for the Chiefs that week. That's how much I hate Michael Vick. I think it's sad. But on the other hand, you're going to get national attention. So that's going to be an opportunity against one of the best teams in the NFC. So that could be a turning point game for the Chiefs this year, especially as I see them starting out 0-2. I don't think they're going to beat the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to be one of the better teams in the NFC. But a good showing on that field on that day against that guy with that kind of attention could bring some fans back to the house, could bring some people back into the game, could bring a lot of attention back on the Chiefs, and could be a turning point, an early turning point for the season, especially you're talking about a couple of weeks. Matt Castle should be back by that point. The offense should be gelling at that point. The new offensive lineman should be familiar with the system by then. Larry Johnson should be warmed up. I don't think there's any excuse for the team not doing well against Philadelphia, but I do think it's unrealistic to think that the Chiefs will beat the Eagles on their field and Michael Vick being back. I just think that the energy there. But again, as a fan, if I were a Chiefs fan, I would be pretty ticked off that that's the game that they've chosen for the Michael Vick unveiling 2009 against your Kansas City Chiefs. Then we come back to Arrowhead. You take on the New York Giants, one of the other good teams in the NFC. We're looking at 0-4 now. 0-4 to start the team, to start the season. All those fans that came in on the Philadelphia game, unless the Chiefs come out and do another great, you know, valiant effort and a losing effort. Look, nobody expects the Chiefs to make the playoffs. Does anybody expect, hands up, anybody expect to see the Chiefs in the playoffs this year? Yeah, I didn't think so. I don't think so. 5-7-6-7-6-10, you want to disagree. You think that the Chiefs are going to be in the playoffs? Oh, Trevor, you think so? Really? Really? All right, so...
That's my attempt at a bad joke.
Yeah, and attempt successful. Nice job. You know what? I think the first team that the Chiefs have a chance to beat, and I know this is going to sound stupid when I say it, the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, that's a letdown game for those guys, although I have them losing it. I still think they have a chance to beat the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Dallas Cowboys are another team that's sort of in disarray, that doesn't really know where they are. They've let a couple of guys go. Their defense is suspect. They haven't been able to stop the run very well. That's a team, that's the only team that the Raiders looked good against in preseason was the Cowboys. So, that's a potential win, although I don't see it happening. So now we're looking at what, 0-5? Let's go to FedEx Field, take on the Washington Redskins, a team that could be good, could be bad. I'm guessing they're better than the Chiefs. So you're looking at 0-6. Then San Diego comes in to Arrowhead. Now, this is going to be an interesting situation as well. By this point of the season, October 25th, San Diego is going to be either exposed or they're going to be a solid football team. Obviously, they've got some disarray there. If that team doesn't come out of the chute very well from the get-go, LaDainian Tomlinson is going to whine. We start to see the propensity for him to whine, a lot like Thurman Thomas did back in the day, a lot like Larry Johnson was doing when the Chiefs weren't good. If the San Diego Chargers don't walk into, you know, that game at, let's say, 5-2, that sound right? Sound about right? 5-1, 5-2. If they don't come in looking good, that's a game that the Chiefs could win. I don't think they're good enough. So now we're looking at 0-7. Really? That's unfortunate. Like I'm not dumping on the Chiefs. I legitimately see them going 0-7 to start the season, and then they take on Jacksonville. In Jacksonville, I think that's a team the Chiefs can beat. Not only do I think they can, I think they will. I think Jacksonville is another one of those teams that. This is a coaching career game for Jack Del Rio. Jack Del Rio is going to be on the hot seat by this point in the season. That team should be better than they are. They sort of peaked a little bit, and they've disappointed in their expectations. I think that's the first Chiefs win of the season, going on the road in Jacksonville. That puts them at what, 1-7, and then they come back and beat Oakland in Oakland, bringing them to 2-7. I think that happens. I think they lose to Pittsburgh. I think a lot of people lose to Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh just beats them. Beats them bad in Arrowhead. So now you're looking at 2-8. Going to San Diego, again, at that point, we're going to know whether or not the Chargers are good or bad. And, beating the Chargers, I just don't think they're good enough. I just don't think they're good enough. I don't think the Chiefs are good enough. I thought so originally, beginning of the season, when I saw going into training camp, I thought that was a game they could split with everybody in the AFC West and have a respectable season. But depending on how well San Diego comes out of the chute, again, Norv Turner, the great equalizer, he's a horrible head coach, and that football team, there's no excuse for them not winning the AFC West. And to win the AFC West, they're probably going to have to, they may run the table. San Diego could go 6-10, and their six wins, they could win the AFC West with a 6-10 record. Because those six wins, they could run the table against the AFC West. Not because San Diego is good, but because the rest of the West is just pathetic. Might be the worst division in the National Football League this year. So I think the Chiefs are going to lose that game too. So where are we at? 2-9? Does that sound right? 2-9? Is that, are you scoring along at home? Denver at Kansas City on December 6th. Right? Is that the date for that game? I think the Chiefs, two of the Chiefs' wins this year come against the Broncos. The Broncos are horrible. If there's a team that looks worse than the Kansas City Chiefs, it's the Denver Broncos. They haven't shown a propensity to do anything against anybody right now. Kyle Orton, I don't know what's going on with that football team. So we've got that coming down. So where are we at? We're at 4 wins, 9 losses, right? 4 wins, 4-9 going into Cleveland, coming into Arrowhead. There's another game that could go either way. Are the Browns for real? I think they've got a good coach. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup from a strategic standpoint. I certainly think that Cleveland has a better team top to bottom, but I don't know if they're going to win that game. I'm going to give the Cleveland, just going to flip a coin. Can I flip a coin? I'm going to flip a coin. I don't have a coin. I'm going to take Cleveland in that one, only because, just because we're that late in the season, and I think they're going to mail it in at that point. And then Cincinnati. Boy, if you've got something, if you're thinking of planning something during the football season this year, let me point to the Kansas City-Cincinnati Bengals game at Paul Brown Stadium as something to avoid at all costs. You can think about something else. That's when you want to do. That's a couple of days after Christmas. Jeez, I wish it was a week before. You could do your holiday shopping. I wish that game was on Christmas Eve. I would rather go to the mall and deal with Christmas Eve shopping than watch the Chiefs and the Bengals play that game, because that's just going to be wow. Wow, I want to see the ratings for that game. And, you know, if that game were here in town, I think it would be a blackout. It could absolutely be. And I don't know who's going to win that one. I want to take the Chiefs on that one. I'm going to revise my pick. I originally had the Chiefs losing the Bengals game, but I'm going to take because I didn't take them against Cleveland, I can't have them going 0 for Ohio. I just can't see that happening. So I'll take the Chiefs winning that one. And then I see them closing out the season beating Denver in Denver. So that's 6-10. I originally had him at 7-9, and then when I started the show this morning, I had him going 5-11. But I am going 6-10. I think 6-10 is a realistic expectation, best case scenario for the Chiefs. Could they go worse than 6-10? Absolutely. Do you expect them to go worse than 6-10? Possibly. If you want to, yeah, possibly. So where does that leave us at the end of the football season? Well, if they start out as I see them starting out at 0-6, 0-7. Does Larry Johnson do a 180 and no longer become the company guy, stay the company guy that he's been all during the preseason? And let's give credit where credit is due. Larry Johnson has not been the best company man for his career here in Kansas City, but he's saying and doing all the right things at the beginning of the season. If this team starts out 0-6, 0-7, and he starts pouting off a little bit, do you trade him? Would you trade Larry Johnson? If this season is lost already, would you trade Larry Johnson at week 6 of the season before the trade deadline? Do you get anything back from him? And is that going to depend on how he performs on the field at the beginning of the season? What's his value? I'm not sure. 5-7-6-7-6-10. If you want to chime in on that, that'd be a good way to close this program. Why not? Let's badmouth Larry Johnson. No, I think Larry's done a great job this year of improving his public persona. He's saying and doing all the right things so far. So, but do you do that? Do you trade him? I'm not sure you do. So, looking at the AFC East, I think Miami wins the East. I think that the New England Patriots have let go of a bunch of guys. Assuming Richard Seymour doesn't, they don't find some way to negate that trade. That's a weird story about Richard Seymour just not accepting the trade. I'm not sure. Look, you're in a contract year. I get that. It's the end of your contract. But you did sign the agreement. And there is a clause in the contract that says you can be traded. So you got the trade. You play out the year. Maybe you play somewhere else. And in a contract year, you're playing for the name on the jersey and not the name on the helmet anyway. So why doesn't Richard Seymour report to Oakland? I'm not sure. But that's going to be a big loss. That, Ted Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, Rodney Harrison retiring. I think the Patriots are going in a different direction. You have a window of opportunity in the National Football League to do well. It's about a 4 or 5 year window. You know, you have a 4 or 5 year window to do well. You have a 4 or 5 year window that your team is going to be bad. You're in year 3 of that 5 year window here in Kansas City. Things are going to turn around, but they're not going to happen this year. So I think Miami wins the AFC East. And then looking at the AFC North, Baltimore right now still looks like, if again, all contingent upon them staying healthy and Joe Flacco continuing to mature, I think Baltimore can win the AFC North as well. 5-7-6, 7-6-10. Chris, you're up next on 610 Sports Radio. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
I am well, and thank you very much for listening.
Hey, I'd like to comment on the Larry Johnson issue.
Sure.
I would definitely trade. I wouldn't even think about it. I would trade. He'd be gone. He'd be gone after this offseason. I just.
Now, is that just because you're not a Larry Johnson fan, or is that based upon, is this contingent upon him complaining, or is this contingent upon trying to better the football team?
Well, okay, Paul. I bet 6-10, like you said, and, you know, Larry Johnson was great when we had Priest Holmes.
No, he was great when you had Tony Richardson.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. Okay, yeah, he was
great.
He
had somebody to block. When you had Tony Richardson and Willie Rolfe in a decent offensive line, Larry Johnson played well behind that line.
You're right, and then he got this big contract. And then everything just went downhill.
I think that's an easy out, though, blaming the contract. I mean, yeah, he's got the money, and a certain amount of that is guaranteed.
Right.
So are you basically saying that Larry, now that he got the contract, just doesn't want to play football?
Well,
if that's the case, he can retire and still get a piece of that contract and be healthy.
You're right. But, like, okay, last year he didn't agree with Herman Edwards, which, you know, hey.
I don't think many of us did.
Right. And then this year he looks like he's having a good, you know, he's got a great attitude. I like, you know, he's a good running back. Don't get me wrong. He's a great running back.
Sure.
When he wants to run the ball, when he wants to put his shoulder down and run over somebody.
Okay.
Okay. But right now we are rebuilding. I hate to say it, but we are.
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying you're rebuilding. I think you would be ignorant to what's on the field if you were saying they weren't rebuilding. Your expectations
right.
are realistic. 6-10, I think, is a realistic growth expectation from last year. Four more wins is good.
Oh, definitely. And I honestly believe it's like Tony G. If we can get a little bit of money out of him right now, get something to help us out, you know, on the offensive line, get a draft pick, I hate to say it, but cut the ties. I mean, we got Jamal Charles. Kobe Smith looked good last year. I think he went 151 yards against, oh, yeah, who? The Raiders, of all people.
Yeah, that was during the same game that I think that Michael Bush rolled up like 140 yards or something, right? No, it's all good, man. I appreciate it. I think you're right. I think that if you're at a situation where this team needs to trade somebody or needs to improve somebody for your future, you are building for the future, and I think it would be a good idea. If your team starts out 0-6, 0-7, nothing to be gained by running a guy too hard and having him hurt himself, and then you've got nothing at the end of the season as far as trade bait goes.
Hey, so just before we end the show,
what?
Jared and I have been debating in here. Shuffleboard, a sport? You can kind of play defense, right?
Shuffleboard, I think, falls into the sport category along with billiards. So, yeah, shuffleboard, a sport. And there's no age limit for shuffleboard, so you can play it when you're 106. So there's no minimum retirement there. I appreciate it.
So for the Tom Watson hater.
Yeah, for the Tom Watson haters out there. I appreciate it. Thanks, Ryan, the program director of the radio station. I hope that I can help you clean out your office when upper management hands you for this horrible programming decision to have me sit in for Nick Wright. He'll be back in tomorrow. I am Neanderthal. I do afternoons on 98.9 The Rock, and I appreciate the opportunity to sit in for What's Right with Nick Wright on 610 Sports Radio. Jim Rome is up next. I hope to see you sometime in the not-too-distant near future. Be well.